My role all these years as a pastor and a prophet to nations has come to one sort of theme in my life. He still speaks. I believe that God is still speaking today. You know, how would it be if your dad had written you a book and then he just said, now, if you ever want to talk to me, it's right there. I'm going to go over to Hawaii, on Kauai, my favorite island. I'm going to go over there and just hang out and catch some rays. Don't bother me. I sent you a book. No, our Father is a relational, lovesick dad. And He wants to speak with us. And I believe with all my heart that everybody can hear from God. Some people don't know that. They haven't been told that. Some people haven't experienced that. And we'll deal with that a little bit today. But I've got two books here today. One you may have seen before, He Still Speaks, which is my first book about the prophetic, how it works. And my new book, I'm so excited about it. He Still Speaks to Kids. My friend and I, Tom Lane, he wrote the first book, wrote this from a burden that we started developing about 4 years ago when God started having us reach out to kids around the nation to see them come to salvation. And we've seen hundreds of kids come to the Lord. I mean, little kids. We're seeing Bible studies student-led in middle school and junior high, and now even in elementary school as well as high school and college. God is moving. Every time He moves by Spirit, it's usually in a dark time, which, check, that qualifies for us, in a dark time, and He often starts speaking to a couple different kinds of people, the prayer warriors, they get a burden to pray, and young people that haven't learned to be hadn't learned how to be homogenized yet. They're still passionate. And they in turn inspire the moms and dads to get on fire for God. And so this is not a book for kids necessarily to read. It's for parents and grandparents and youth workers and anybody that loves children and wants to see them learn how to hear God themselves. And that's our goal, not to just be cute and trot them out at Christmas, but for them to be able to hear the Lord themselves. And so that's what this book is for. And I wonder who here today has some kids, say, between 2 and 5 years old. We got a dad, our mom right here. That lady right there, can I give you this book? You have to come up and get it or have somebody. There you go. Well, I'm glad to have my wife here with me today. And she asked me last week, she said, so what message are you going to preach up there at Glenn's church? So I had a really good message. I mean, it was rocking. And I'm all ready and proud of myself a little bit, you know. And the Lord just said, well, do you want to give that message or do you want me to give you a message to give to them? And I've learned when the Lord asks you questions, it's usually not for information. So I just said, the safe thing to say when He asks you that is, you know, Lord. And so He just began to download some things to me, and that's what I want to share with you today. Jeremiah 1:11, God asked the prophet Jeremiah, what do you see? And then he just described what he had seen in the Spirit. He didn't understand it. I mean, who could, if you'll read that passage, who could understand it? But there's interpretation, and heaven helped him download what that meant. So I'm hoping that today, what I share today is something that it's going to be helpful, hopefully inspirational, but especially for 2023, I think this message is for the body of Christ. I believe God has spoken in the past, and He still speaks today. You know, Job was somebody that really heard from God. He had a pretty good life. I mean, today they would write books on faith about Job and his early life. And you know what happened to Job? He just went through a really, really dark time where the devil just tried to take him out. And Job's good friends came to him when he was in such pain and misery and said, hey, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Anybody have any friends like that ever? And they were saying, basically, why are you seeking the Lord? He's not going to speak. Look at you. You're sitting there covered in sores, and it's horrible what's happening to you. Why don't you just curse God and die? But he had a word for himself in that generation, in that moment, that every generation needs to carry in their hip pocket. He said in Job 33:14-17, he said, hey, friends, jerks, that's implied in the scripture. It's not really. It says, for God does speak. Now one way, now another, though people may not recognize it or perceive it. He speaks in dreams. He speaks in visions of the night. When deep sleep falls on people as they lie in their beds. He whispers in their ears and terrifies them with warnings. He makes them turn from doing wrong, and he keeps them from pride. I don't know if you've gone, any of you are going through a hard time or you've been in a dark time before, but I want you to know it's not just on the mountaintops, set revival time every September, that God speaks through special people on special days at special platforms. No, he's the Father that speaks to his sons and daughters. Wherever they are, whether they're in the valley or dancing on the mountaintops, he does speak, and he continues to speak. So, in December of each year, I set aside time to seek the Lord about the next year. And then we go into our 21 days of prayer and fasting in our church in January. And so I write down what the Lord shows me, and then I take it into those days of prayer and fasting, and I seek the Lord all through that time to see if he would say something to me. I remember, I love little Samuel's words that Eli taught him. Little Samuel's 3 or 4 years old. You remember God called his name? Samuel. He runs down the hall to see Eli. Eli says, go to bed, you're bothering me. And he goes back, Samuel, go to see Eli. Go to bed, you're bothering me. He goes down, he hears God, someone says, Samuel. Finally, Eli, who wasn't the brightest bulb in the chandelier, he finally says, that could be God speaking to you. Go back to your bed, and if you hear your name again, they speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And I think that's one of the most powerful ways that you can set yourself to hear from the Lord. Don't go in there with your laundry list of what you need. Don't go in there asking God to take people out you don't like. Just go in there and say, I'm listening, Lord. Is there anything you want to say to me? And then be quiet and listen. Well, in December, really early in the December, I think it was December 1st, God began to speak to me. You know, sometimes God speaks in dreams, sometimes in visions, sometimes through an inner witness, a knowing in your knower. God often speaks in without using words at all. Let me give you an example of that. I meet with a group of pastors every Tuesday morning at a restaurant in Russellville. We've been doing that for 15 years. And it's not just pastors that are like me, you know, tall, dark, and handsome. It's like Church of Christ pastors, Baptists, Assemblies of God, non-denominational, Methodists. We all meet together, and over the course of time, God's let us start to trust each other. After a year or so, we quit talking about nickels and noses and how many butts did you get on the seat this week? We got right past that, started to trust each other. Most of those guys didn't know that there was anybody safe to talk to. And so through the years, trust developed. We love each other. We didn't just exchange pulpits. We exchanged life with each other. And so we started praying for a city right across the river from Russellville called Dardanelle. It's a place where the movie True Grit was written about, Dardanelle, Arkansas. And Dardanelle should have been more prosperous than Russellville because of their fertile ground and all their natural resources was much better than ours. But we're the prosperous ones. And we didn't know exactly why, but we began to pray. And so I asked these pastors if they would go to me to a place, one of my favorite places to pray, which is called Council Oaks. And it's two big oak trees. One's gone now, one big oak tree that the Cherokees used to go and have their council there. It was a place they were forced to give their land away in our valley and be forced out to Oklahoma. And I often go there and I pray. I've taken all kinds of different Native Americans and different people from different parts of the world to pray there. It's been a pretty special place. So we went there and I said, let's go and pray for three things. Let's pray for unity among the pastors, which there was a lot of division in Dardanelle. Let's pray for prosperity, which they never quite get to be prosperous. And then we prayed for spiritual awakening. And we're praying and we're praying, and then we just stopped praying. And suddenly, three eagles flew right over our heads, about 10 feet above our heads, just whoosh, whoosh, And we looked up at those eagles, and we were just, as they say in England, we were gobsmacked. I mean, we were amazed. We knew God was speaking without words. The three things we prayed about, it's like He was sending angels into that city and these majestic bald eagles. It was amazing. I've never seen anything like that before or since. And since then, we've seen churches working together in unity. We've seen new churches be planted over there in Dardanelle. We've seen some prosperity, some new businesses. A guy from our church, my friend Mark, has become the superintendent of Dardanelle Schools, and they're seeing people saved in the schools, and all kinds of things are happening. And so God speaks in all sorts of ways. Our problem is we aren't always listening. And some of us think that we can't hear God, and that's a bunch of baloney. And even if you fry it, it's not good. Well, I want to share with you what I'm hearing and seeing in this Kairos moment in time. This is not going to be a line-upon-line message. It's just going to be trying my best to share a burden that I have of what I'm hearing and seeing, and I hope it'll be helpful to you. Now, these PowerPoints that they're using, sometimes they just, whoever did this for me, just put them all together on one thing. But I want to pull things up like one at a time. So if you put it up there and I start wandering off, then just take it down for a minute and then put it back up. How's that sound? That's confused you even more, I'm sure. Well, on December 1st, I heard four things about 2023 in my spirit. Number one, 2023 will be a year of out in the open spiritual warfare. Out in the open. It's not in secret corners and behind closed doors and boardrooms. It's out in the streets. It's in the schools. It's dark forces going after our kids. It's all kinds of things happening, but it's out in the open. Playing it safe by staying quiet little lot-bred Christians is no longer our best option, if it ever was. It's a time to find our voices in a spirit of boldness, not arrogance, but a spirit of boldness in the Lord to impact people and places within our areas of influence. You know, my coach taught me the best defense is a good offense. And I think a lot of Christians don't believe that. So we're on our heels rather than on our toes. I want to become an offensive attack sheep. Steel tooth, steel wool, you know? I want you to be that too. It's a time to run to the battle as David ran to the battle to defeat Goliath. Against all odds, this little guy defeated that giant. Because in secret, he'd killed his bear and his lion, so he had confidence. In secret, the last 2 years, when we've been drawing into our houses, we've been killing some personal lions and bears. And it's time to walk up and say, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who are these people trying to take the minds of our children away? Who are these people trying to take over everything and rule every aspect of our life for the worse, for bad?" Hey, I got a rock here. I got a sling. I'm going to sling it. I'm going to sling it right on you. Number one, 2023 will be a year of out in the open spiritual warfare. You know, your spiritual armor, you know, helmet of salvation, every bit of spiritual armor is for your front. There's nothing to cover your back. So if you retreat, guess what? You're going to get shot in the back. Number two thing I heard is, and I've been going from place to place for over 5 years now, telling people that there's a coming fresh move of the Spirit, a second Jesus movement. And I'm starting to see hot spots around the country where I go, where it's breaking out in obvious ways. You don't have to strain to see. And I know what that feels like from the Jesus movement back in the day. I know what it feels like to be in a move of the Spirit. And it's breaking out across our nation right now. But this growing move of God's Spirit will increase in intensity. It's going to increase in intensity. We're seeing world systems continuing to weaken. Identities are growing more confused. Anxiety is increasing exponentially everywhere you look. kids are having to bring comfort animals onto planes and into classrooms. They're so full of anxiety. We must not withdraw in fear, but continue to carry our message of hope. And what is that message? It's in John 14, 6. Jesus alone can save. Being politically correct won't save you anymore. If you disagree, they're coming for you. We know Democrats can't save us. You need to also know Republicans can't save you either. We don't put our hope in politics. We don't put our hope in economics. We put our hope in Jesus because Jesus alone can save. When the kingdom breaks in on you, then the kingdom's going to break in into politics and into business and into economics and into schools. So the kingdom needs to break in on you. It's a growing move of the God's Spirit increases in intensity. I see woke people waking up. And as they turn aside like Moses turned aside, why is that bush continuing to burn? I mean, lots of bushes broke out in spontaneous combustion back then. They'd start to burn, but none of them just kept burning. So he turned aside to investigate. I believe if we can burn for Jesus and keep burning, not just when things are going good, but keep burning, I believe woke people are going to realize they're not woke much at all. And they're going to turn aside and say, you've faced what I have, but you've kept your joy. Your marriage has faced all kinds of difficulties, but you still love each other. You haven't abandoned your family. You don't cheat on your taxes. Might have stepped on toes there. I'm not sure. But they're going to turn aside, and you're going to say, well, let me tell you, Jesus alone can save. He can change you from the inside out. He can make you a world changer. And that's the message of hope that we carry. I want to tell you about being transformed, become part of a revival generation. Corpus Christi, Texas, one of the hot spots I go to. I'll be there in a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, I think. About 4 years ago, I had a word for him. I said, there's going to be a suddenly, and as you lean into it, everything's going to change. Everything's going to change in this church. So they leaned into it by starting these Friday night meetings called Heaven Come services. And they started coming and people started showing up. They put four tables in the four corners of the building and had communion there. Had communion. You just walk when you're ready to take communion. People getting saved like crazy during the times of communion. Then they had a horse trough on the table that was filled with water, wasn't heated. Talk about persecution. It wasn't heated, and people would come to get baptized in water. They'd get baptized immediately. They had this T-shirt. The T-shirt said New Life Church across it, but when it got wet, it says Redeemed. I don't know how they did that, but I love that shirt. And let me just give you some stats. Since 2018, when I gave that word, they've had 5,000 baptisms in their church. In 2022 alone, they've seen 1,000 salvations. They're starting Bible studies, student-led in elementary, middle school, junior high, high school, and college. They're having 60 and 70 come to these classes. Teachers are getting saved, led by these middle school kids. I went out to the A&M College campus there, and with their college students, they want me to talk about the Jesus movement and to pray that it would happen there. And then they took me out to this fountain in the middle of the campus, and we prayed there. And you know, they have been baptizing kids every week in that fountain. It's amazing what's going on. And what's the pastor done? Well, we've got to control this. No, he said, you know what? I'm just trying to keep up. I'm just trying to make sure they don't hurt each other. He said, but go do what God's put in your heart and I will cover you in prayer. And it's amazing the preachers that are rising up, the worship leaders, the songwriters, the business people that have kingdom mindset. It's been pretty incredible what's going on. I can't wait to go see them again. The third thing I heard is I see new opportunities for strategic multiplication of kingdom ministries in 2023. And many of them will be found outside the walls of church. One story I'll tell is we have got a guy in our church who's our lead pastor. He's also has one of the most successful realty companies in our area. And he had this idea one morning, just popped in his head, properties with purpose. Properties with purpose. What does that mean, Lord? And the Lord showed him, go inspire your agents. Would they give a portion of what they make on each house to the poor? He thought maybe a few would. Almost all of their agents started giving, I think, 5% of their commission to people and ministries are working with the poor all across our city. And then guess what? You know, businessmen are real competitive. So the realtors start hearing about it, said, everyone's talking about them. They're giving us money to the poor. We got to do that. We're losing our competitive edge. And so that's how God stores up for the righteous with the unrighteous. And so they start doing that. It starts breaking into other businesses, and we're seeing phenomenal forward movement in our ministry to homeless and the poor. That's kingdom right there, multiplication of kingdom ministries. After months of isolation, it's time to move out again in our communities, our cities, and go into other countries. New opportunities waiting beyond our doors. It's a time to do more than tell. It's a time to show and tell our neighbors that God still speaks. He wants to speak to old and young, rich and poor, men and women, boys and girls. Yes, that's what they are, men and women, boys and girls. I ask the Holy Spirit, how can I prepare myself to stay in step with you in 2023? And I heard personal direction like this. This is when I went into January, our time of prayer and fasting. Kneel in prayer in early 2023. And then stand in advance. You have all kneeled in prayer for 21 days. Coming out of it, I don't think it's time for more reflection. I think it's time to stand and advance. It's a time to run to your battles and slay your giant wherever he is. Matthew 11:12 says, the kingdom of God is advancing and forceful people lay hold of it. That's where I get my attack sheep thing. Let's be attack sheep. Somebody say amen. Amen. Oh, come on. Amen? Okay. Well, I'm seeing something happen that was very similar to what happened just before the Jesus movement hit. People started being drawn and having a burden to pray. There's a difference in saying your prayers or standing up and praying over your meal or whatever. There's a difference in having a burden to pray. Having a burden to pray, a prayer burden, is a spiritual concern that feels intense and urgent. It's not an obligation. It's something you got to do. It's urgent. It feels intense. I woke in the middle of the night on December 31st with a strong burden to pray for our country, the body of Christ, and for believers who are being persecuted across the world. I've been praying my head off about Ukraine and Russia. You know, I've not been praying, kill Putin. I've been praying, Lord, save him. What would it be like if he got saved? I mean, radically saved, became a kingdom guy. I think that's the better option than killing him. I do. The Holy Spirit began to speak to me about positioning myself to prepare me to be used by God and perhaps to be part of an answered prayer for those he would send me to. And I heard four words of direction for 2023, and they were all re-words. They start with R-E, re-words, and sometimes the Lord uses alliteration to help me remember stuff. But they're all re-words that maybe you can remember as well. And I think this is for the body of Christ, not just for me. Number one, this is how you position yourselves. Refuse regret. Christians get under it, get discouraged, want to quit. They've done something they feel bad about, or maybe they didn't do something they should have done, and they're filled with regret. I ask that this song by John Mark McMillan be sung today, How He Loves Us, because of one line, I don't have time to maintain these regrets. Maintaining regrets is exhausting. We don't have time for it. Now, there's a place for repentance. There's a place to say, Lord, I messed up. Please forgive me. But when he forgives, we need to let the regret go. Amen. My wife is one of those people that she just doesn't carry around regret. I want to regret. I want to get back at some people sometimes. I want to get mad and mull over it for a few days. But she just doesn't. It drives me crazy. I love her attitude. I wish I were more like her. The Lord gave me a verse in Romans 8, 1 and 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life sets me free from the law of sin and death. Is that true? If that's true, then we should refuse regrets, because maintaining them is exhausting. It's got us on the sidelines rather than on the front lines. If you got regret in your life, just refuse it. I ain't going to do it. The second thing he told me is reject discouragement. My second reword. Reject discouragement. Discouragement means to remove courage from. It's one of the enemy's primary tactics. To discourage you. We can encourage ourselves in the Lord. That means sometimes we need to have a little talk with ourselves. When David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, it wasn't a flowery, oh, bless the Lord, O my soul. It was like, soul, you're going to bless the Lord. I don't care what you're thinking. I don't care where. You're going to bless the Lord. That's what David was saying. And he was if you read the passage, he was in a hard place. Sometimes we need to have a little talk with ourselves. Hey, soul, you're going to bless the Lord. You're not going to drown in despondency and discouragement. You're going to bless the Lord. I don't care how you feel. You're going to bless the Lord. Now shut up. When King David felt discouraged and abandoned there in that verse, Psalm 43:5, he says, why so downcast or discouraged, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? What do you think you're doing? Put your hope in God, and I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. It's my choice. It's your choice to rejoice. You don't have to wait until you win the lottery. It's your choice to. I get up every morning, early in the morning. I walk out back and I say, Lord, first thing I say is, this is the day the Lord's made. I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it. That's the first words out of my mouth every morning. Then I say, Lord, do you have anything to say to me? Isn't that good? So we refuse regret, we reject discouragement. And the third thing I heard is repel fear with love. Wait a minute. Repel fear with love. Our world is awash with fear and anxiety. Terror has become a weapon of fear. Have you been watching the news at all? I hope you've turned it off, because it's been ugly, what's happening around the country. Believers in Jesus must not fight in kind. We move in an opposite spirit of fear. And that opposite spirit is love. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love, it's a powerful word, drives out, casts out, throws away fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. I mean, I didn't start praying for Putin because I'm a good guy. I wanted to see him toast. When this started happening, I just wanted to toast him. And I don't mean with a drink. I mean, turn that guy into toast. And then the Lord just spoke into my spirit. He said, wouldn't it be great if Vladimir met me? Oh, Lord, you know. So why don't you pray for that? Now, I met with 40 Russians at a meeting out in Bethel Church a few years ago, and these big old bears of men were just worshiping their heads off, in love with Jesus. They were bold. They were powerful. They'd spent probably 5 to 6 months of their salary just to get a ticket to come over to this conference. And they said, don't forget us. We aren't all bad. So God's moving in our nation. Pray for a revival. Now, when you see that, rather than what you see on the news, you can start to think about kingdom stuff. So instead of toast, you want to see saved. Repel fear with love. So refuse regret, reject discouragement, repel fear with love. And the last thing I've got is re-raise a banner for hope in the future. Now, before you correct me, re-raise is Scrabble approved. I went to the Google about this one. Re-raise is a word. Re-raise a banner for hope in the future. I've been listening to Gen Zers around the nation whenever I have an opportunity. And from their own mouths, they're telling me they're without hope. Cannot see anything positive about the future. So just get any kind of life I can get out of right now, because I don't think anything else is going to happen. They need to hear that God is good and that He loves them. Jeremiah 29, 11 and 12 is what God wants us to say to them. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Maybe this verse could make its way onto our screenshots rather than one of these. Maybe we can put some things like this coming out of our mouth, going out on social media, saying it in your own words. But we don't need to contribute to the gloom and doom. We need to speak words of life and hope and a future. Amen, Wayne. That was fantastic. Our world is having an identity crisis. And so it's vital that we remember who we are. So I want to remind you of who you are. You're sons and daughters of God. Listen to me. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. Don't be confused about your identity. That's who you are. Our kids that are getting confused and trying to explore, maybe I'm the wrong gender, No, you're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. There's hope and a future for you. Come walk with me. That's what Jesus said. Where do you live, Jesus? Well, come go with me. Maybe we need to quit being so, well, I'll meet you at the coffee house for 10 minutes on next Tuesday, but no, come go with me. Come over to the house. We'll cook out. We'll do something. Remember who you are. And then here's the thing that I want to say to you in closing this down. It's time to receive and walk in the Father's nod of approval. You know what a father's nod is? I mean, you go to games and your mom or, your girlfriend, yay, you're great. Put your arms around you. One, two, three, four, who are we fighting for? You. But most guys, they just kind of give this father's nod of approval. Maybe they get a wink. Good job, son. You know what? If you're out there playing in that game of life or whatever, nothing is more fulfilling than looking up and seeing the Father's nod of approval. Well, do you know, if you're a believer, He's given you His nod already. And he displayed it for all the world to see at Jesus' baptism. Matthew 3, what does the Father's nod of approval mean? Matthew 3, 16 and 17. After His baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens opened and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on Him. And a voice from heaven said three things. This is My dearly loved Son. I'm well pleased. Good job, son. You bring me great joy. That's the Father's nod of approval that we all can receive if we're a believer. And let me tell you, your sons and daughters need your nod of approval. Amen. Guys, if you've dropped out and letting your wife do it all, drop back in. That son or daughter that just seems so surly and you don't even want to be in the room with them because they're so difficult. Hey, son, did you know I love you? I was praying for you today and I just have such hope for the future. Because of you. That's how we need to talk. That's how we need to talk to our sons and daughters. So, remember who you are. Kneel in prayer, then stand in advance as a son or a daughter who has been given the Father's nod of approval. Refuse regret, reject discouragement, repeal fear with love, re-raise a banner of hope and a future.